Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. I'm going to have one of the sisters here read what I've written up on part 57 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program number 159. Now, 159 can be yours free of charge. Just tell us how, if you want a tape or a CD, and we'll tell you how to receive it at the end of the program. Right now, we have some a letter or so, and then we have also a exposition or a message also from the Book of Jude, which is telling people that there was a lot of wicked men that had infiltrated into the church at that time. They were teaching people that after they're saved that they could sin. And then Jude is warning people how that after God, to show you everyone in this world today, how false that doctrine is that you hear most of the TV evangelists preaching. That once saved, always saved garbage. These are the same type of people that were in the Book of Jude that said that you can still sin after you've been saved. And so Jude is expressing that he wanted to remind the people in the church that God delivered the entire nation of Israel out of Egypt and then killed them all. Because they were not once saved, always saved. They never got to go into the promised land. And then Jude goes on further to explain how that the angels in heaven that were could have been secure, but they started sinning. They started thinking that God wasn't God, that Satan was. And so God cast one third of them out of heaven and Satan himself. And it goes on and on, the Bible telling you that you cannot sin after you're born again. Now, if you're born again of the Spirit, it's impossible to sin because the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit, lives in you and gives you power enough to subdue your soul and your flesh. So the power of God is holding up the entire universe. And when the power of God, the triune God, enters into your spirit, you have the power to hold off your flesh and all the lust thereof and your soulish desires. Now, we have a will, and the Lord says that we can use that will to do good or evil. Now, good, the Bible tells us, is to do what the Lord says. Evil is to ignore what the Lord says. The Lord says, all the people that sin shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. And the Lord never saved us to sin, to continue sinning after we've been saved, after the Spirit of God enters you. But he gives us the power to put sin, Satan, the world down, and to conquer death, hell, and the grave, and the power to also rise on resurrection morning and ascend a new person, a new creature, an ecclesiastical person, a transformed person into the kingdom of heaven to stay there forever. If this process of salvation hasn't happened unto you, then you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, the Bible tells us that you could live trillions of years and still it wouldn't be the end of eternity. You'd be burning there forever, so it's the most important matter in the world to make sure that your soul gets saved. And that's why we're bringing these messages that the Lord is telling me to do, is how to have God's life living in you. Because without God's life living in you, you're doomed to everlasting hell. Okay? Now, Father, let's go to the throne. Father, we ask you to pour out your outward anointing on me today, that you'll talk through me, in me and through me, and let all the words that are said be yours and none mine. Praise the Lord. That you'll let the anointing spread through my mouth, through yours into me and to the people in the world, that they might be saved and that the church might be edified or strengthened even more. Because I know as a truth that people that don't hear the gospel on a daily basis, they fall away. I see that right before my very eyes. If I am called away on some special mission for you, and I come back, the people are in disarray again. They must read for themselves. They must learn to read and pray for themselves, and to not believe that they can ignore your word that tells us that we must keep our mind stayed upon you, or else we fall. Divided from you, we fall. United with you, we stand. Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read a letter here.
The first one's from Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
May the peace and grace of our God and His Son, Jesus Christ, be with you and your ministry. I once again thank you for your goodness and your good teaching of God's Word to the lost people that are without Christ. Pastor, this is the most wonderful thing I have seen since I was born in this earth. That is, I was a member of a church of Christian ministries. Though I was a member, I was without Christ, the Savior. I did not know God. But as I received the Alamo literature and read through it, I thought that if you don't have Christ in your life, you're like a pig without an owner. I did not take this message for myself alone, but rather spread it to the members of my church and the pupils in my school. After doing this, 56 students and 25 members of my church have given themselves to Jesus Christ with baptism. Again, sir, we are begging you in the name of God to send us the literature entitled The Messiah, Bibles, and many of the books which help us to increase the number of people to God the Father.
You don't have to beg me to do that. It's my pleasure to do it. All right? The Lord has anointed me to do that. Okay, then what?
Sir, we need them in large amount. That is as many as you can send to us. I pray and hope to receive from you. Thank you for remembering us. Out of best regards, in the name of Jesus Christ, yours faithfully, Richard.
Okay, who else have you got one from?
From Jacksonville, Georgia.
Well, where's the other one?
From Nigeria, Africa.
No, the one that's the from Ramfro.
That's Jacksonville, Georgia.
Okay, read that one, Jackson.
Dear Pastor Lamo, I wanted to take the time to tell you how uplifting the letter was that you sent to me. I truly know that the Spirit of God Almighty dwells in you mightily. I'm so excited to give out the church's address for people to get on the mailing list. I have given the address to 6 or 7 people here at Jackson already. I know that the words that you speak are spirit and life. I love for people to read the newsletters and see their life change. The truth always sets people free if people will accept the real truth. I'm sick and tired of going to church services and hearing people that sound weak, miserable, and defeated. What kind of God do they serve, and what kind of spirit are they believing in? God is a God not of word or talk and no action. He is God Almighty and demands our obedience. I'm so thankful for the church that you oversee. It has been an answer to my prayers for 10 years. I'm so excited about learning to fear God more and be obedient even to death. Thank you, Brother Lamo, and I've been praying for you as well. I will see you soon. I also will need some newsletters in Spanish that I can distribute to my fellow inmates. I will only be here for about 3 or 4 more weeks. God bless. Chuck from Jackson, Georgia.
Okay. All right, now let's get into the book of Jude here. I've done a lot of paraphrasing here, but you could take your King James Version, and you can stay here and read what it says in the King James Version, and then you can hear the paraphrase. Get your Bible and read from King James in a hurry. It's the book before Revelation. Come on now. We've only got a certain amount of time here, and I've got a lot to say always. And the Lord has a lot to say in and through me. Okay, so you got it?
Yes.
Okay, so you read one verse, and then Sharon will read one verse from the paraphrase. Okay, read it.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called.
Okay.
This letter is from Jude, who is a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the brother of James. In so many words, he's saying he's writing to Paul to live in the love of God the Father, and in the care of the Lord Jesus Christ, who also is God.
Okay, then what?
Verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied.
May you receive more and more of God's mercy, peace, love, God's grace, which is power. Power that we have when we keep the commandments of the Lord, such as when we expose Satan. This is power, God's power, because he tells us to do that.
Right. Now, a lot of people say, you know, I come against you, Satan. I come against you, Satan. I come against you, Satan. They keep saying that, thinking that Satan's going to go away by them saying that, but because they heard Jesus say, get thee hence, Satan. But what really made him go is because he was exposing Satan. The way to make the wages, the sinfulness of this world go away, in other words, binding the devil, is to expose him. And I've explained that. And so by doing that, you have power to expose Satan, and so therefore you can bind him on earth, and then God will bind him in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
But if you let Satan loose by not exposing him on the earth, well then God will let him loose in heaven. He just lets you have, let Satan have at you. Is that what you know, a lot of people must want that, because Satan is just raising hell all over the earth. And so it's because they don't expose him. They're afraid of the government and the one world cult from Rome, and one world government, and the one world media. They're just sort of afraid of him. But if you expose them, then they're rendered helpless. All right? And so if you don't believe that, then you don't believe the gospel. The Lord says to bind Satan, and whatsoever that you don't like that Satan's doing on earth, you can bind him. Well, how do? You go into the corral and get yourself a rope, and then go out and hog tie him like you would a calf, or you know, on calf roping or something? No, you expose the devil. You expose him. You tell on him. You tell where he's at. He's in Rome. And his people are like presidents and vice presidents and kings and queens all over the world. And they're the ones that are creating the wars, because they want to rule the world. It's just their natural satanic instinct to want to rule the world. And for what? Because the Bible says, tells us that Satan it can be bound, and we bind him by exposing him, and that the Lord will bind him in heaven as well, that he'll come down, and whatever we do of binding Satan here on earth, God will even do a bigger job than that. I exposed the Vatican as being a bunch of homosexuals and the ones that murdered the Jews, and now it's come out in all the newspapers. I've been doing this for nigh on 41 years, and now it's just common knowledge. And so now they're trying to... But Satan's been cast out now, and he's come out of the closet, because he knows, everybody knows that his time is short, that we're at the end of time, and so he's just raising hell. I mean, blowing up the World Trade Center, and you can see when the administration was in a little school that he heard the news, and he just sat there saying, yeah, that's right, I knew it was coming. Part of it, just as... FDR knew in advance that the Japanese were going to bomb Pearl Harbor, and he didn't do anything about it. And Hitler was the... Germany was to be the sword of the Vatican to murder the Jews. And they come up with that it's the Russians, and it's the Chinese, and it's everybody. The commies, the socialists, the... all these different isms that's doing it, but really the Lord said it's the Vatican. And one of these days, the people in this world are going to wise up and know it. Every time we've been persecuted, we trace back where the persecution came from, and it goes right back to the Vatican. And so don't think you're being persecuted by anybody else. It's the Vatican, the one world government, which is the beast, and the news media. They're all one. Okay, then what?
Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Yeah, you must earnestly contend for the faith, because there's so many people in the world that are trying to take the faith out of you by telling you that you can, after you've saved, you can still sin. Okay, read now from the translation here.
Now of the danger of false teachers, Jude states, dearly beloved friends, or dearly beloved, or dear friends, I have been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation that we all share, but now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the truth of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. God gave this unchanging truth once for all time. It never changes. It's the same for all time.
Right. The truth of the gospel is the same. It never changes. It's the same when it was laid down by the prophets and the apostles, and it's the same today, and it'll be the same tomorrow. Don't let anybody change the word of God. Okay, then what?
Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God,
the power of our God, to what?
Into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, the power of God, they're saying that the power of God saved your soul, but now they're turning that into lasciviousness. They're saying that you can, after you get saved, you can be a lesbian, you can be a homosexual, that you can lust after men if you're a woman, or if you're a man, you can lust after men. Or if you're a woman or a man, you can lust after women. Okay, read the because they're changing the gospel into something that's lasciviousness, something that is evil. Go ahead.
I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you, saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. Now the fate of these people was determined a long time ago, for they have turned against our own master, who is also the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're saying that the power of God is now gives you the license to be immoral. And Jesus said, I didn't come to say that you could be immoral. I didn't come to say that you don't have to keep the law, or I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to show you that in a human body, I will keep the entire law, and with the power of God living in you, you'll be able to do the same thing. Because if you break one of the commandments of the moral law, you've broken them all, and you're going to spend eternity, hundreds of millions and billions and trillions of years, and never ending in the lake of fire. All right? So any of you people that have any sense in your heart, soul, mind, your spirit, you should remember that all the time, 24 hours a day. Okay, now go ahead.
Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not.
In other words, if you think that they were saved, they were absolutely saved out of Egypt, right?
Right.
Okay, and then they started thinking that they could sin too. But because they did, they were killed by God, and their souls went into hell. And that should be the lesson for you to see, because it's saying it in the New Testament as well, that these lascivious people, these evil people come in among you, and they're even on television and in churches all over the place today, telling you that once you've received forgiveness, that gives you license to be immoral. And that's not true. And it gives you license to not serve God. Okay? And I know that all the homosexuals and the lesbians out there are really not liking me, but you must have God's life living in you. If God is living in you, He's not going to lead you about in an immoral way, because these words all come from Jesus. He anointed Jude, He anointed James, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the different apostles, the Apostle Paul, to write that you cannot sin, because he that sinneth is of the devil. And he that goes in and teaches people that they can sin, that you can live an immoral life, and that you hear this Charles Stanley saying, well, you know, the devil tells you that you're not perfect, and who is? The people are perfect that have the Spirit of God living in them, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they live moral lives, and they morally do everything that the Lord tells them to do. They are perfect according to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. It tells us that there's no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Because if you walk after the flesh, then you are immoral and you're on your way to hell, especially after you've been saved and you've tasted the good word of the Lord. You can read that in Romans also, the 1st chapter. But you know that it's the truth, and you know that you have the power. You've tasted the power. You know that you didn't have to sin. You know that you don't have to be a lesbian or a whoremonger or somebody that lusts after men or women or anybody or anything. And you felt that power, and because of the fact that you didn't stay with that power, but you started doing the things that were immoral, then the Lord says that he turns you over to a reprobate mind. And those that are into men with men, women with women, the Bible says that they're worthy of death. That means an eternity of death in the lake of fire, where they never really die there, but they're always dying, and they're always tortured, tormented, because the Lord has given us the way, the truth, and the way that to live our lives, and if we don't do it, we send our own souls to hell. All right? So go ahead. Now we'll go read yours.
If you think that God has forgiven us so that we can live immoral lives, I must remind you, and you know it well, that even though the Lord rescued the whole nation of Israel from Egypt, he later destroyed every one of those who did not remain faithful.
Okay, now let's keep reading this one out.
Verse 6, and I remind you of the angels who did not stay within their limits of authority, but they left the place where they belonged. God has kept them chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the day of judgment.
Right. They were saved. They were in heaven. They had it made. They were in the place where we are striving to be, and they were there and didn't appreciate it. So they started usurping authority. And anyone that you see as usurping authority on this side of eternity, you know that they're not of the Lord, they're of the devil. Because that was the first sin, the usurping of authority, God's authority in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, that's why the Lord tells you to obey those that have the rule over you. Okay, then what?
Verse 7, and don't forget the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities or towns, which were filled with sexual immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire, and they are a warning of the eternal fire that will punish all who are evil.
Okay.
Verse 8, yet these false teachers who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives, defying authority and scoffing.
Yeah, they're filthy dreamers. They dream filthiness. Because that's what they were born to dream filthiness and to do filthy things. They seemingly do not believe the word of God, that you must live a holy life. The Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Yet these false teachers who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives, defying authority, and scoff at the power of the
Lord. They defy authority. In other words, they pay no attention to those that have the authority over them. It's like it's a joke to them. It's like the word of God is a joke to them. The Lord says, obey those that have the authority. But it's a joke to them. We had some young girls in the church. Now, you may think that our church is evil, you know, because I am exposing them, but here is Jude exposing the evil that's in the churches back then. The real true churches of God, there's always Satan in there trying to get something done. There were several young girls in the church that said they wanted to go out on witnessing crews to pass out tracts, just flirt with boys. And they wanted to go to concerts and sneak off and go to concerts. And the older Christians don't pay any attention to the baby Christians. They don't even know if they're missing or not. And so that's evil as well, because you're not watching over the Lord, the Lord's flock. And they love to see people fall away when the Lord wants us to uplift those that are you see falling. Do everything, let the Lord speak through you so that he can give them a message where they can stay alive in the spirit. Okay, then what?
And they scoff at the power of the glorious one.
Yeah, you hear them talking. I had to put somebody out of the church yesterday because they were scoffing at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, oh, I didn't really mean it that way and so on. I says, no, can't be in this church. Now, there's a lot of churches that'll let you get by with that on earth, but this is one lighthouse that won't allow that to happen, all right? Then what else?
Verse 9. But
the Lord deserves at least one church on this earth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 9. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of angels or messengers, did not dare accuse Satan of blasphemy, but simply said, quote, the Lord rebuke you, unquote.
Yeah, that was a prayer. So the Lord is very capable of rebuking the devil. Okay, then what?
This took place when Michael was arguing with Satan about Moses' body.
Yeah, the devil wanted to find out where Moses was so that the Jewish people would worship Moses or idolize him or build monuments unto him, and the Lord doesn't want that. You're only to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But you're to obey those that have the rule over you that the Lord has placed over you. All right, then what else? And the Bible says for women to obey their husbands. And he says he commands the husbands to love your wives. That means to support them monetarily and to spiritually and in every way to support them. Do everything in your power to get them into heaven and stay out of hell. And a lot of times you have to put them in ward, because if they think that you condone the things that they've done, they'll think that they can just do it all the more. Like David's wife. One of his wives. And God said he gave all those wives to him. He said, I gave you the wives of Saul, the daughters of Saul, and I gave you this person and that person, all these other ones, and if you would have asked, I would have given you more. Okay, then what?
Verse 10. But these people mock and curse the things they do not know. They don't understand.
Right, they mock and curse the... cursing means they try to bring, there's like groups of people that try to bring a curse down on me. They try to say that I'm evil and that I'm doing a lot of things that I'm not really doing, so that maybe the government will come in and do something. And they just keep it up, and therefore I know that it's the government that's sponsoring, because it came out the last time that they had me sent to prison, that it was a bunch of people that they paid to testify falsely against me, and that's a common thing in the world today. But we know that that government doesn't like me because I expose it. This is the Vatican's government. The Roman Empire has risen again, and it's their government, their cult, their government, which is the beast, and the news media, which is the mouth of Satan. And Satan is depicted in the book of Revelation as being the great red dragon. And so that's another picture of Satan. It's like a dragon, an evil animal-type beast. Okay, then what?
They're like animals. They do whatever their instincts tell them, and they bring about their own destruction.
Right, people live by their instincts. They want to watch something evil, they turn it on. If they want to do something evil, they do it. It's their instinct. Their flesh pulls them to do it. Their soulish nature has them do it. and read that line, the line before that and that line again.
But these people mock and curse the things they do not know. They don't understand. They're like animals. They do whatever their instincts tell them, and they bring about their own destruction.
Right, just like an animal, when they want to, when they want to have sex, they don't care if millions of people are watching. And that's these pornography people do. It's their, to their glory to exhibit their immoral actions publicly and before multis of millions of people. That's what they love to do. It turns them on to think that other people are being turned on by watching what they do. Okay, then what? It sure doesn't turn me on. But I know there's a lot of people that it does because it's a multi-billion-dollar business a year. But read that line again.
But these people mock and curse the things they do not know. They don't understand. They're like animals. They do whatever their instincts tell them, and they bring about their own destruction.
Yeah, it's the animal instinct, and they're going to be destroyed forever in the lake of fire. If that's what you want to do, then just keep up. Go live by your instincts rather than by the Spirit of God. You have to make a choice whether you're going to live by your instincts, your lusts in your flesh, and in your soul, or if you're going to put your soul and your flesh down by living according to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because, you can have a choice. But one is you just believe that you're going to live for this temporal world. This world is condemned. It's going to be burned by fire. God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Because he doesn't see there was sin in heaven when Satan sinned. And a third of the angels, and so he's going to destroy heaven and make a new heaven. And there's so much sin on this earth that he's going to destroy it with fire and build a new earth, refurbish it from the ground up. Okay, then what?
Verse 11, how terrible it will be for them, exclamation mark, for they followed the evil example of Cain, who killed his own brother. Like Balaam, they will do anything for money, and like Korah, they will perish because of their rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Like they hired Balaam to curse the Jews. And these people were cursed like they're in prison, and they let him out if they'll curse me by testifying falsely against me. And they'll let them keep their house, like Brigitte. They let her keep her house and her businesses if she would testify falsely against me. And about 11 or 12 others they did. And so it looks like, you get 12 liars together. And I'm not allowed in court to testify, the good things that I've done and how I've helped these people, or to explain my case. They just say, no, I will only be able to say yes or no. And you have to listen to your attorney. And my attorney sold me out because they were threatening to throw him in prison for 13 years if he didn't sell me out. So, but this is, I rejoice at things like that because God tells me to. Jesus says, rejoice when these things happen to you because they did the same thing to the prophets before you. Okay, then what?
Verse 12, when these people join you in fellowship meals, celebrating the love of the Lord, they are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They are shameless in the way they care only about themselves.
Right, there are people in the church that are among the people that are saved, and they try to make, they bring the same kind of accusations against Jude and James and Paul and the Lord, and they say things in the congregation, try to split the foundation of the whole church apart to make people leave. They have a negative attitude, and they're devils, right, in the midst of a bunch of people that are of the Lord. And this only happens in the churches that are of the Lord. Those are the ones that are being falsely accused and so on. But the Bible tells us that Satan doesn't attack his own people. That's why you don't see many attacks on the Catholic cult. All we do is expose them. And in order for them to fire back, they have nothing truthful to say about us. But so what they do is they hire backsliders to say all manner of evil things. And they even give them the money to print up literature and to testify falsely, and they gather a bunch of them together. Every single one of them are devils that have been cast out of the church. And so they don't like it because they had an easy go in the church. They were fed and clothed and housed. Their babies were paid for. We built schools for them, and we preached the truth to them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. There's no forgiveness for them here on earth or in heaven. And so they just figure they're going to do everything they can to malign a person's character in an attempt to drag them down to their guttural level. They're trying to drag the people of the Lord down to their gutter level. And the only thing that we can do, we can't lock against them. You know, the mafia and the government, they'll put a slug in you if you do something like that to expose them. Except if the Lord is with you, they cannot do that. And if they do it, you know where it's coming from, the Vatican. I mean, they kill people, but only if the Lord allows them to do it. That would be a person that the Lord would just want to come up to heaven sooner. Okay, go ahead.
They are like clouds blowing over dry land without giving rain, promising a lot of things but producing nothing.
Yeah, when you see you're out in the desert and you see a lot of clouds going over you and they go right past you, it looks like the promise of rain is going to come down and bless your land and make everything green, but it just goes by. That's what these people are full of, nothing but the devil. Yeah, the devil doesn't help anybody. Then what?
They are like trees without fruit at harvest time. They are not only dead, but doubly dead, for they have been pulled out by the roots. Verse 13. They are like wild waves of the sea, churning up the dirty foam of their shameful deeds. They are wandering stars, heading for everlasting gloom and darkness. Verse 14. Now Enoch, who lived seven generations after Adam, prophesied about these people, quote, "Look, the Lord is coming with thousands of his holy ones." Verse 15. He will bring the people of the world to judgment. He will convict the ungodly of all the evil things they have done in rebellion against God.
Now you know these evil people, what they do is the Satan makes them believe that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. They say, they look at their own husbands and they say, you know, there's movie stars out there that look better than him, and there's all kinds of men out there, and even if the husband is supporting them and giving them the gospel and leading millions to the Lord, they think that one of those satanic people out on the street is better. And or else they see a woman out there rather than their wife, and it would be somebody else's wife, and the devil will tell them that's going to be a better thing. Well, you're going to really enjoy her. And so the grass is always greener on the other side of the street. There's a book that's written by a man that was a former sheep herder, and it's called the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, we don't, you know, if the Lord is really your shepherd, you won't want for somebody else. But he was talking about how the sheep in that book would try to get across the fence. There was one real beautiful sheep that would try to lead his fat sheep over into another pasture that was brown and not good, trying to make them believe that the grass is better on the other side of the fence. And so he couldn't convince that one to stop it, and so he had to butcher it. And that's what God does to these people that are doing that. I see them around in different places in the world that are doing this to us, and they're dropping dead like flies. God's going to butcher you if you keep doing this, you crazy people. Am I going to do it? Heck no. No. I'm saved now. These are tactics that I might have done. I might have been playing cards someplace and have somebody come and get you. But do that sort of stuff at all. There's many people that have been bringing false accusations against me, and they're still alive. A lot of them have died from cancer. like Mr. Metters in Elma, Arkansas, who owned the Metters Motel. He came against Sue and myself, and Sue had cancer, and I've got real bad eyes, and so he caught cancer in his eyes, and he died. And the woman that was the head of Reader's Digest, she wrote a really horrible, lying, dirty, lying story about us, and Sue and myself, and Sue's been gone now for 24 years, April 8th, 82. And here we're trying to win these young kids so they won't slice people's throats. And we're trying to get them saved, and we are doing it. We're getting them filled with the Holy Spirit. But she said we were bad, so God led a couple of these people that we didn't know who they were. We don't know anything about them, but the papers said that they were a couple of teenagers on drugs, and we get millions of people off of drugs, and they crawled into her window and killed her. And so then the postmaster over in Elma or Dyer or Fort Smith, Arkansas, was coming against us and saying all kinds of lies about Sue, and he was working on his job, and he dropped dead. The head of Channel 17 in Fort Smith, Arkansas, was bringing all kinds of false stories about us on his TV stations, and he owns a bunch of jewelry stores around Fort Smith, and his son, who he was raising to take over the TV station and his jewelry stores, he was 21 years old, he was away to college, he came home to visit in Christmas time, and he dropped dead right in front of his dad. And I could go on, the West Hollywood Sheriff Department, all these people used to raid us and beat our people up over at Crescent Heights because we were distributing literature on the Sunset Strip, and somebody, those bar owners and the skin flint flick people were paying the cops money to harass us, and every single one of those cops got killed, those sheriffs, in gun battles someplace or another. And the only way we found out about it is one of them left the sheriff department because he knew God was going to do something to him. And he dropped in at our restaurant in Elma, Arkansas. We don't have it any longer. But he told us that all those people that were persecuting his buddies are dead now. And they were young police officers. And I could just go on and on all night. Some people in our church have dropped dead. One of them actually, because they just, God doesn't like that. Amen?
Amen.
He hates liars, and especially people that are trying to destroy his church. And we're the strongest church on the face of this, on this side of heaven, in this whole world. Because we're getting the gospel out, and we're not afraid. Okay, then what?
He will convict the ungodly of all the evil things they have done in rebellion against God, and of all the insults that godless sinners have spoken against him.
Look at all the insults. We don't want you to mention the name of God. What do you think is going to happen to that bunch of devils? Do you think they're going to heaven?
No.
Take Christ out of Christmas. It offends them. The word of God offends them. To teach the Bible in school, God's word, which is Christ. No, that's offensive to some of the people that come to our school. So we'll teach them a stinking lie, evolution. Dirty, filthy people. You're going to hell. And you know something? The Lord wants you to know it. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Then what?
Verse 16. These people are grumblers and complainers, doing whatever evil they feel like. They are loud-mouthed braggarts, and they flatter others to get favors in return. So this is a call to remain faithful. Verse 17. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ told you. Verse 18, that in the last time there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to enjoy themselves in every evil way imaginable. Verse 19, now they are here and they are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They live by natural instinct because they do not have God's Spirit living in them.
No, they don't. You notice that people are not shining like the stars in the kingdom of heaven. If they're not leading people to Christ, if they are not like the lampstand, if they don't, you don't think of God and Jesus when you see them, or that they are messengers of the Lord or angels. The Spirit of God is not in them. Not at all. Not at all. There's no evidence of Christ in them at all. Okay, then what?
Verse 20, but you, dear friends, must continue to build your life on the foundation of your holy faith and continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, live in such a way that God's love can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ, in his mercy, is going to give you, and I might add, has already given you. Verse 22, show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Verse 23, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. There are still others to whom you need to show mercy, but be careful that you are not contaminated by their sins. This is a prayer of praise. Verse 24, and now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and who will bring you into his glorious presence, innocent of sin and with great joy. Verse 25, all glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, glory, majesty, power, and authority belong to him in the beginning, now, and forevermore. Amen.
Okay. So, the book of Genesis tells of how the two innocent people at one time sinned and fell away from paradise. But in the New Testament, those of us that overcome, it shows how that we have regained paradise and we're going to live in paradise forevermore. So those that they fell away from paradise, and now we have regained paradise by doing what the Lord said. And if you think that sinning is more important and taking care of the lusts of your flesh and living according to your lusts is more important than spending eternity in paradise, well, you're sending your own soul to hell and the lake of fire. All right, now we're going to go into how to have God's life living in you. You must have, I've been talking about that during this message from Jude, and now we're going to go continue on with it here. Okay, go ahead.
After John saw the lampstands and the stars which shine, he saw a throne in heaven.
Okay, now, the lampstands is the church, because it's a combination of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the whole church, it becomes the light of the world, because the fact that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in them. They've accepted Jesus with his Father by the Spirit into them, and now they become the lampstands. And then the seven stars that are in the hand of Jesus are the messengers of that church, the angels of the church. There are churches, and every church should, if they're really of the Lord, they have messengers in the churches. They love to witness, they love to testify, and they carry the message of salvation to the world. Okay, then what? Read that back.
After John saw the lampstands and the stars which shine, he saw a throne in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. That one was like in appearance to jasper stone. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 through 3. John saw the Almighty God as in the appearance of jasper. Jasper is a beautiful greenish color. The symbolism is the fullness of life.
Right, green is like the fullness of life. He's forever jasper stone colored, a greenish, beautiful colored stone, the fullness of life. Okay, then what? If anything's green like grass, it's alive, amen?
Amen.
But God is like all his entire content is life. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, then what?
The fullness of life is God's appearance. Jasper.
So God's appearance is greenish, like jasper, which is symbolic of the fullness of life. Now remember, I want to remind you that the Lord told John that he's going to show him signs, pictures, and he wants him to write down everything that he sees. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's showing God as the fullness of life, the color of greenish Jasper Stone. And then what? There'll probably be a big rush on Jasper Stone, as you know, down at the Jewelry Mart. Okay, then what?
Jasper is the appearance of the New Jerusalem as well. Revelation chapter 21, verse 11. The entire wall is built of jasper. Revelation chapter 21, verse 18. This shows us that the entire city not only bears the appearance of God, but it is God, because it is made out of those who have been transformed into his image. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18.
Yeah, into God's image and likeness, just as he created us in the book of Genesis. He created us in his image and likeness, Adam, but then Adam fell away from his image and likeness and went a-whoring after Satan. And now, because the fact they fell from paradise, and now the Lord came into the world and restored us, for those of us that will do what he says and just follow him wherever he goes, then he delivers us into paradise again and forever. Because he can see that we really love him and trust him and believe that everything that he says, and that we're going to receive everything we say, because he allows us to go through tribulations. And we're not to think of it as an unnatural thing when all these trials and tribulations happen to us, because it's just fire that we go through in order for us to reach maturity and for us to be able to be counted worthy to inherit the kingdom of God. All right, you understand that? Okay, then what?
Revelation chapter 21, verse 11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, unquote. Quote, we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory.
Right, but you have to mention the scripture.
This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18.
Yeah, so you correlate Revelation with 2 Corinthians, and what verse, chapter and verse?
Chapter 21, verse 11.
Right, so now begin the scripture, because you got to tell them it's jumping from Revelation to 2 Corinthians, and it's just, like I said, you can't know the book of Revelation unless you know the whole Bible. And unless you know the book of Daniel, because these are symbolic books. Okay, then what?
Revelation chapter 21, verse 11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Quote, we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory.
Right, so we actually are being transformed into like the color of jasper. In other words, which is symbolic. We don't turn jasper, and God is not green, and we're not green. That would be foolishness to say that, but it's like symbolic. These are symbols that God has everlasting life, and because of the fact that we've been transformed into his likeness and image, we also, as a symbolic meaning, to turn into the color of jasper stone, because we also have eternal life, immortality, and so there we resemble the same color as God, because we are members of his body and he is the fullness of us. He fills us with his life, eternal life, as we become more and more transformed, as we reach maturity. Okay, then what else?
Revelation chapter 21, verse 11, describes the New Jerusalem as, quote, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, as a jasper stone, clear as crystal, unquote. The whole city bears glory and has the appearance of jasper shining. This is because the entire essence and makeup or construction of the New Jerusalem has been transformed into God's image.
Yeah, we're the image and likeness of God. Amen?
Amen.
So naturally we look like jasper. I mean, symbolically. We're not green, and we're not stones, but the Bible says that we are lively stones, that the New Jerusalem is the foundation of. Okay, and then hurry up, because we're out of time.
The one sitting on the throne, who is God, looks like jasper, and the entire city looks like jasper. This shows that the meaning of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 has been fulfilled, quote, "Let us make man in our image," unquote. Man was to be God's expression.
Right. Okay, now our time is up. And those of you that would like to be the express image and likeness of God and be in the New Jerusalem, because if you're not there, you're going to be in the lake of fire. All you have to do is say this prayer to get started, and the Spirit of God will come into you, and Christ will enter with his Father by the Spirit. So just say, the Lord, this is not the first part of salvation, and you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of my literature, it tells how to receive it. Okay, so just repeat to God. Say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and because I'm no different than anyone else. You're no respecter of persons. I've called on you. You've heard me. You've answered me. And now I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now you're saved and start reading the Bible. And if you'd like instructions on how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, get it from me, because I know how that happens. Now, this is program 159, and if you'd like a copy of it, please specify when you email us that you want a tape or a CD. So tell them how to get a copy of this message.
Go to alamoministries.com.
Make sure you tune in tomorrow for part 58 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And until then, just be so thankful that you've escaped the flames of the lake of fire. Be happy that you've received instruction that strengthens you and caused you to be saved. Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you, praise the Lord always, and seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.